Welcome to Green Livelihood in Dover Media. My name is Dan Kirvine. I'm co-host here with Evelina Molina, and we are talking to Mr. Omar Freya, who is the director of Green Worker Cooperatives, which is a community-based organization dedicated to setting up worker-owned green businesses in the South Bronx. And this is something that's successful and has implications elsewhere. So we are definitely delighted to be talking to you, Omar, for calling us in from – we really thank you for calling us in from New York City.
The Bronx.
The Bronx, yes, yes.
So, well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a little bit about what your organization does, because it sounds like what you started out and have implemented is making an impact in a problem with particularly toxic waste in the neighborhoods where you live, and that has developed into something with a bigger implementation and vision. So what can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, Green Worker Cooperatives has been around now for almost 7 years. It's been a learning process the entire way. And our mission, our vision is really to create a South Bronx that has a democratic economy, one that is a green democratic economy that really empowers people. And so our way of doing that is to help people to start up businesses that are both green and that are worker-owned, and we're big fans of both because we see green businesses as a way to really right the wrongs of the current industrial economy and to deal with the fact that a community like the South Bronx has been the dumping ground for the rest of the city for too long, for decades. And it has been a classic example of environmental racism and classism. And the worker ownership part is something that we see as an essential component of any economy that is really about empowering people and putting people first. And we see worker ownership as a way to take that lesson of the environmental justice movement that says that it's the community that's being impacted that needs to be at the decision-making table and apply that to the economic sphere that says in a workplace it's the workers who should be the ones deciding what's happening in the business because they're the ones that are living it each and every day. And so we see both as a way to really create accountability. And what we have now is an economy that runs without accountability to anybody, and that as a result we have the environmental disasters and the workplace disasters that occur each and every day all around the planet. So we're about creating the space where people can really start those kinds of businesses. So we're all about worker-owned businesses that are green. People come to us with their own ideas for businesses, and we help them to get it off the ground. So we basically run like a boot camp now, a boot camp for for green worker-owned businesses. We call it the Co-op Academy, and it's something that came out as a result of the work that we've been doing. We started, I said, 7 years ago, and for pretty much most of those 7 years, except for the past year, our focus had really been to start up a business ourselves, and so we actually did that. We started up a cooperative, and it was called Rebuilder Source. It was you can imagine a Home Depot where everything is salvaged or secondhand. That's what we launched.
Oh, yeah.
It was up and running. What's that?
There are outlets like that in the Bay Area in California.
Oh yeah, and Urban Ore out in Berkeley is a classic. A classic example of a reuse store. They've been around since the late 80s, and they do an incredible job and are really a great example of that kind of an industry. And it's a great industry with lots of potential that could certainly replace, if it were actually put into practice everywhere, could replace all of these big box large home improvement stores because they offer the same stuff.
Right.
And it's a lot of, in many cases, it's better quality. But that was the first business that we started, and as a result, people started to come to us and say, hey, I've got an idea for a business. I'm interested in doing green catering, or I'm interested in doing cleaning, or some green cleaning, or I've got an idea for recycling and doing something with solar thermal panels. So people came to us, and so we said, well, we have there's a potential here. We can create a training that is really centered around helping people develop their own ideas. You've got entrepreneurship programs all over the country that are geared towards supporting individual business owners or individual entrepreneurs to help them get off the ground, but there's absolutely nothing available like that, or very little available like that, I should say, for people who want to start up a worker-owned business. That's where we jump in.
Terrific. Can you give me some examples of the kinds of businesses that have been incubated through your organization?
Sure. Sure. We recently, I should say about a year ago, we did an initial round of this boot camp or co-op academy, and we had about six groups that went through it and that completed it all the way through and that are working towards developing their own cooperatives. Some of them have already taken the steps to incorporate and are active in businesses. Of those, there's a range. We've got one that is a catering operation, so they cater all kinds of events, small and large, from institutional to the individual wedding or baby shower, and they provide locally grown foods, healthy foods, organic where possible, and they've actually even made connections to some of the local community gardens and have sourced their food from community gardens to serve at different events. So that's one example on one end, and on another end we've also got a group of designers and architects that have developed their own design for a solar thermal panel to heat water using the sun. So that's on another end. And then we've got a team of educators who wound up forming a consulting business where they are designing curriculums for after-school programs and for schools that are geared towards environmental education and technological education to really support young people in their growth and development and understanding of art and science using technology in a way that also understands and addresses environmental issues, environmental justice issues in particular. So there's a wide range of areas that are out there. And we've also been approached by others that we expect to be joining the next round of the Co-op Academy that are doing everything from growing healthy food and doing food production, manufacturing, to cleaning, to a number of other areas that are out there. So we're not limited to any one particular industry or trade. Our focus is really anything that's green that is able to actually improve environmental conditions and is going to be based in the Bronx.
Great. And you're listening to here Evelina Molina and Dan Kerbine with Green Livelihood, Viviendo Verde Ya, and we're talking with Omar Freya. And we are, this is a little introduction to Omar because we feel that, Omar, you have so much to offer our listeners and myself also that very much is venturing into the world of development of a green workforce. I'm on the other coast, you being on the east and us being on the west, yet I think our motivations are very similar, which is basically human dignity and the right to work and the right to, you know, what everybody wants, you know, to have money to come into the family and to have, you know, to have a better life. So for our listeners, we want to let you know that this is a little, what do we call it, an appetizer. It's a sound appetizer to give you a little idea about Omar. We will be posting a half-hour show where Dan and myself will be having more of an interactive conversation with you, Omar, and we can get a deeper look into the work that you're doing, but also the philosophy underlying everything, which I think is how do we get a mass consciousness to really understand that a green job is more than just doing something that's good for the planet, right? It a green job, Omar, would you say, is the social aspect, the triple bottom line, correct?
Absolutely. For us, it isn't truly green unless it's addressing the social justice issues in any particular community. And that, you know, if you have sweatshops in China or any other country producing solar panels or producing the latest of anything, that is not green. You know, that is, say, pseudo-green, or it's partially green, but it's not addressing the issues that are present each and every day for people all over the planet that are also impacting people's health, and it's impacting people's livelihoods.
So Omar, in addition to the hands-on work that you're doing with the Green Worker Cooperatives, are you or other organizations there in the South Bronx taking action and achieving results with the issue of waste disposal and toxic waste dumping in your communities?
Well, certainly, our efforts are part of a larger environmental justice movement, and we see our role as really supporting people to create the alternatives that the larger environmental justice movement can point to in other communities, including other organizations in our own community, can point to and say, we don't need any more X, we have the Y alternative. We don't need any more waste facilities, we've got the reuse store. We don't need any more toxic industries, we've got these 10 businesses that have been started in the past, you know, 2 years or so, and this is the direction that our community needs to go. So these are the kinds mm-hmm. of things that we are about, and we're about supporting, and we're seeing even more so now that many community-based organizations have gotten involved in developing their own workforce development programs, doing job training programs, and there's been a lot of talk over the past few years, talk that we've helped to grow, that is about the opportunities available in the green economy, and that the green businesses and a new wave of green businesses are an opportunity for people who've been marginalized for decades, or communities that have been marginalized, to really now grow economically and to have job opportunities. But the fact of the matter is that these are industries that, if history is our guide, will follow the same path as other technological revolutions of the past, and that the jobs that will be created will be in the communities that already have jobs, that already have the capital, the social and the financial capital, to be able to launch new businesses, launch new industries. And unless we have a real reallocation of resources and some concrete attempts to support organizations and efforts that are about creating new businesses, work community businesses in the communities that have been marginalized for so long, places like the South Bronx or places like Richmond, California, or New Orleans, then we won't really see any change in spite of the fact that there's so much promise for a green economy. It will wind up following the same path as all others. And that's not a future that we're looking to live in. We're looking to create a different future.
That's terrific. Thank you.
Well, that was Omar Frieya from the Green Worker Cooperative in New York, South Bronx, and that was just a little introduction to him, Dan. We will have a much more deeper interview where we'll get to know you, Omar, a little bit about how you got to do what you're doing, and we will be posting that show for our listeners that are listening to this inaugural show of Green Livelihood, Viviendo Verde Ya. We will be posting a link exclusively to Omar's full interview, where we'll get to know a little bit more about himself and his goals and motivations. So again, thank you very much, and Omar, thanks for being here, and we are looking forward to learning a little bit more about you and what you're doing. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this very, very first official podcast on January 11th.
2011.
Yeah, 11-11-11 at 11 a.m. So we got the 11-11 thing going on. Thanks a lot.